Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Ben Arthur, who covers the Titans for the Tennessean. Ben, what's going on? How are we doing?
How's it going, guys? Good to be on.
Good to have you on with us, Ben. We appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. So, Ben, obviously, there's still a lot to figure out this offseason for the Titans, and Mike Vrabel and John Robinson speaking to the media later today at the NFL Combine. As it sits right now, what is the biggest position of need in your mind for this Titans team as they enter into the free agency process and the draft process as well with the Combine underway?
You know, with me, the way I look at it is, you know, really bolstering the weapons around Ryan Tannehill. What we've seen, you know, John Robinson, you know, the Titans multiple times, you know, publicly saying that Ryan is their guy, but there's an opportunity to really improve like the depth at wide receiver and at tight end. You know, obviously AJ is, you know, their established kind of number one guy, but, you know, Julio, we don't really know what the future is for him. He's obviously getting older, has hamstring issues. And so you look at getting a, you know, potentially a number two, number three receiver in there. And then tight end, you know, they went the whole of the 2021 season without like a true legitimate dual threat number one tight end after losing Jonnu Smith in free agency. And, you know, they kind of had the by committee approach with Jeff Swaim, Anthony Firkser, and Pruitt. But I absolutely think that tight end could be addressed early in the draft or free agency. You know, I really look at tight end and receiver at this point in time as kind of being the biggest areas of need.
Ben, of course, you know, we're going to get John Robinson later and then Mike Vrabel about an hour after that. You had a really good Q&A with John Robinson a couple weeks ago. Got a lot of reaction. In particular, you know, obviously whatever he says about Ryan Tannehill, people are going to react to at this point. But also even I feel like some people kind of got upset about him pointing out, you know, the big picture of the fact that, you know, the success they've had, you know, which is it's a harder sell after you have the playoff failure they had. But, you know, I also think those things are always for you. You were there. What did you think in the moment? Like, what did you come away with? We all read the Q&A, but you were there talking to him. Like, what was your sense for John Robinson, his approach right now, his feeling on things, and like, what was your takeaway from some of the things he told you?
Yeah, I think number one, you know, he really feels like the Titans are heading in the right direction, and you look at straight up the numbers, the record, the last 6 years, you know, six straight winning seasons, back to back AFC South titles, you know, 12 wins last year. You know, they obviously had the number one seed this past season, and you know, weren't able to kind of take advantage of that. But you know, he from talking with him, you know, the momentum they've kind of built up since he arrived in Nashville in 2016. You know, he sees the franchise is kind of heading in the right direction, and you know, he knows that the fans, you know, have. He understands their anger and kind of with the opportunity squandered this past season and the frustration with Ryan, but he very much is looking bigger picture, it seems to me. And I think he's confident where the team is at. You know, and again when I was talking about the need for kind of depth with the weapons in terms of receiver and tight end, I really got that sense that they're really looking to be great around Tannehill, and that they see more meat on the bone, so to speak, in that regard. And so, yeah, I think he just kind of his tone, like I wouldn't say he was kind of frustrated with the dialogue about the team, but he really wanted me to understand, and through me, I guess, Titans fans, Titans fans to kind of realize that, you know, they're kind of doing everything they can, and they have made a lot of progress from where this franchise was several years ago into establishing them as kind of a perennial playoff contender. And his sense is that they're a lot closer to being kind of a championship caliber, Super Bowl caliber team than maybe the masses might think, because of the quarterback play and some of the deficiencies that we saw on the offensive side of the ball. So those were kind of some of the big themes, I got from speaking with John.
Ben Arthur from the Tennessean on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So Ben, obviously, a big decision coming up with Harold Landry as well. How important do you think he is to bring back for this group in terms of their window to win next year? And what do you think of the idea of spending that much money, the money that will be required to get Harold Landry back at that position with Bud Dupree already locked down as well?
Yeah, you know, with the financials of that, it's going to be really tough to make that happen. I mean, you know, on paper, you're like, they got to make it happen, you know, somehow, that we all saw what happened in 2020. I believe it was 17 sacks. Jadeveon Clowney didn't pan out. Vic Beasley didn't pan out. We know how tough it is to find pass rushers, and you have a guy who's kind of led you in sacks, led the team in sacks the past three seasons. And, you know, kind of with better guys around him, we kind of saw the leap that Harold made in 2021. And so, you know, and I know that Robinson told Jim Wyatt, the team reporter, that they would like to have him back. And, you know, I believe that's genuine, but then you also have to look at where they are from a financial perspective, right? You know, $7 or $8 million over the cap at the moment. He's going to cost at least $17 million a year. You're already paying Bud Dupree $16 million a year. There's Jeff Simmons' future contract to worry about. And then just with this year, there are so many other areas of the roster that need to improve. We've talked about the receiver and the tight end spot. The offensive line could be in for some big change. So yeah, financially right now, I don't really see how that happens. But then again, I think there are some, you know, cap casualty candidates that are in there, maybe one or two potential contract restructures in there as well. You know, it's not super clear at this point what they're going to do. But yeah, I mean, when you have like an elite defensive front as the Titans did last season, the way they were able to just win games, right? We saw what they did to Patrick Mahomes, Stafford, Carson Wentz, to a lot of good teams, good quarterbacks, good offenses. And so you do want to try and keep that together, whatever it takes. But, you know, the salary cap does talk. And so if they do want to make it happen, there are going to have to be a lot of moves that precede that to even make that possible at this point.
Ben, first of all, I got to give you a tip of the cap. Nice try getting Arthur Smith to talk about Ryan Tannehill yesterday. got yeah, right in the mix there. I loved it.
I had to try, man. You know, I mean, I didn't expect him to maybe answer my question directly, but you know, Ryan did have his, he resurrected his career under Arthur Smith. We saw the kind of efficient quarterback play from him in 2019 and 2020 that wasn't there in 2021. I just hoped that he'd maybe just shed some light on kind of what he thought of Ryan, but you know, obviously he wasn't going to go there. And you know, I understand why from his perspective, but you know, I had to give it a try, man. You know,
absolutely. Absolutely. No, I loved it. I loved it. I was interested, Ben, to see what it was going to look like here. Just in terms of the crowds, like how many people are coming, you know, it feels mostly normal, like feels mostly like it was 2 years ago. You know, the way that they do these things now with the podiums and everybody has to crowd around, I figure we, like all of us who cover the Titans, and then there's going to be all these other people asking random NFL questions, I figure we'll probably get one or two questions in to John Robinson today, like a per person, something like that. So if you had one question, if you knew you were going to get one today, and don't worry, I won't steal it. What is your question?
Oof. I mean, that's a tough one. Well, I mean, number one, where are things at with Harold Landry and you know, potentially re-signing him? As we talked about, you know, that they should want him back just from a football perspective, from a money perspective, that's really difficult. And so kind of seeing where things are at, you know, I don't think that the tag is an option, but, you know, kind of hearing his thoughts on potentially tagging Landry if, you know, if from a salary cap perspective they can make that work, that would be close to the top of the list. On the spot.
That's a good one. That's the thing. Like, what is he actually going to answer? You know, like some things
exactly.
You're going to be very careful. I think with Landry, we may get some insight today.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's probably, you know, our best bet in terms of, like, significant insight. I mean, and also we haven't heard from, you know, Vrabel or Robinson about just kind of all the talk about the potential new stadium. And I don't know, here talking to John, asking him, you know, what would kind of a new stadium kind of mean for the franchise and the brand and, you know, kind of, as, you know, kind of opening up kind of this new era of Titans football, kind of as we talked about what they've kind of become the last several years, kind of what that could mean. And obviously for the city, the ramifications there. So just getting his thoughts. I mean, I don't know how much he'll say. He may defer that to Amy or kind of the people, you know, working on that. But yeah, I guess hearing John's thoughts on that as well. But yeah, as we kind of said, I think Harold, I mean, he's their top free agent, right? I mean, apart from Ben Jones, I mean, I think he's the top guy. And so hearing just any insight about kind of where maybe that, where they're at with Landry and his camp, I think is going to be one of the first questions asked.
Ben Arthur from the Tennessean has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Does a great job covering the Titans for the Tennessean. Ben, great stuff as always. Thanks for taking time to be with us this morning.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Absolutely. Ben Arthur does a great job covering the Titans for the Tennessean. Rex Road, my number one question would be to Vrabel. What in the world are you talking about your press conference stink?
Oh, that's happening.
If I could pick one, that would be my one. Forget all the Harold Landry stuff.
The thing is, it's like, that, I mean, in all seriousness, I do. Like, I want him to answer that question. But also, like, you can't come too early with that. That's got to be one that you sneak in late, you know?
It's going to be well-timed.
Yeah, like, you get the nitty-gritty football stuff that, you know, that it is more important. But absolutely. What's up with that? What are you trying to say, man?
Maybe it could be, like, an ending question. You could be like, so, are these better than the bad Tennessee press conferences?
Yeah. Look at there.
There you go. That's not a bad idea at all.
Just bait him into something. Yeah, be some good stuff there. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Wednesday morning. I got a pair of tickets to give away to see the Nashville Predators take on the Anaheim Ducks coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Thursday, March the 10th. Be caller number 5 at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Ducks coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Thursday, March the 10th. 615-737-1025. Nashville Predators regular season tickets to all games are on sale now. More information can be found on Predators tickets by going to nashvillepredators.com/tickets. Thanks to Ben Arthur for joining us in the last segment. Interested to see what comes of the Mike Vrabel, John Robinson media availability later today. We'll get to that a little bit more coming up here in just a few minutes. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Nate texting in, going back to our Choice Is Yours conversation. Whataburger is overrated, in my opinion. I enjoyed it when my wife and I went during the Winter Classic, but it wasn't as standout as people hype it up to be. Where do you come down on the Whataburger In-N-Out discussion?
Nate, I could not endorse those words more. It's good. I'm good with it. It's, yes, people hype it up to such extent. Like, the hyping up of that, it's almost impossible for it not to disappoint you, you know?
I agree.
And look, now I know people say this about my place, but In-N-Out Burger does not ever disappoint me. Huge fan of that. And I can't believe people even try to compare those two things.
Well, I'm team In-N-Out over Whataburger. Like, Whataburger's good, but to me, it's like, it tastes like Sonic, like the Sonic burger. It's like the same thing, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with it.
I agree. It's just good. Yeah, I agree. It's good. But yeah, it's In-N-Out, way better. But, you know, I had five guys here. That was good, too. That's very good.
A lot of good burgers. We'll eat any burger. That's what we've learned.
Yeah, exactly. Like, how many times are you like, oh, man, cheeseburger? Really? No, thanks. I don't like that.
Yeah. I'll turn that down. I may or may not have grilled some last night because the weather got warm. It was good stuff.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah. Ron on the text line says, let's be honest. We know we won't get a quarterback in the first round unless there's a diamond in the rough available. But if there is one of the top receivers available and the best tight end available, which one would you pick? This is coming from Ron on the text line. One of the top receivers or the best tight end available? Which one are you picking?
Well, there's not even like an absolute consensus as best tight end, but I don't think any of them are first round players.
Yeah.
You got to do your board, you know, value and take your, you know, you're going to go need. The Titans are going to go need, of course. I mean, they may have someone on the board higher who's at a position that they don't need, and they're going to take a position of need. There's still a sliding scale both ways, but tight end will not be a first-round pick.
Well, no.
The problem is they don't have a second-round pick. That may be where you go receiver, then tight end. They don't have that second-round pick.
I think there's a chance they draft a tight end. I think it will come later in the draft. To me, like, you're addressing tight end in free agency and the draft. Like, I think maybe later on in the draft you grab a tight end if one's there that you like. But free agency, I think, is where you have a chance to really make a splash at tight end. We've gone through the list of guys that could be available. It's a pretty good list of tight ends. That to me is where the Titans may have a chance to do something there. So I'm going receiver, because I think if you go by your board, there will be a receiver available to you at 26 that is higher ranked and is better on your board than a tight end. Could be wrong, but that's my guess.
No doubt. Oh, for sure. No, I totally agree.
Let's go back to the text line. I got a texture that says, sacrifice an offensive lineman to pay one of your best players. You finally get good on defense. Don't ruin it. Offensive linemen are easier to find in free agency and in the draft. I don't know. I would argue the last couple of times they've tried to find one in the draft has not worked out so well to this point. But I hear the point there of you've gotten your defense. Harold Landry's a big part of it. Don't ruin that and sacrifice that part of the ball.
Well, when you say sacrifice one of your offensive linemen, it's almost a foregone conclusion. Not that anybody has confirmed it. But it's almost a foregone conclusion that Roger Saffold will be one of those players. You know, I mean, I'll be very surprised, very interested to see what they do if that's not the case. So there's one. My thing is don't totally revamp the offensive line, because you could absolutely get worse. So I think you have to keep Luan and you have to cut Saffold, as painful as it will be to cut Saffold.
Well, and we talk about, you know, the offensive line getting worse and pass blocking is, I think, what we focus on there. Let's not forget, this is a pretty darn good run blocking offensive line. And if you don't have Saffold next year, you know, how much does that change that? If you don't have Ben Jones, like if you're changing out three guys on your offensive line, can you run block the same way that you've run blocked the last few years? I mean, it's not just Tannehill and his protection that's part of this. We saw it when Derrick Henry was out. There's still a pretty darn good run blocking offensive line, and there are some nice holes for Hilliard and for Foreman. You don't want to lose that either.
That's why it's so painful. I think in terms of pass protection, you can find other offensive guards who can come in, and you don't have some huge drop off from Saffold. As a run blocker, you're probably going to have a huge drop off. He's still tremendous, and that's a huge part of what they do. It's a huge part of how they're going to have success if they have success next year. So, yeah, like, I don't think it's easy. Like, oh, yeah, Saffold, see ya. No problem. I mean, I think it's tough, but you have to make – I mean, to me, two guys who in a perfect world, in a capless world, in Jared's world with no cap, you'd have Saffold and you'd have Zach Cunningham. I think I would probably – those would be two of my tough choices of people who won't be here. But, again, I mean, Robinson, and maybe he'll revisit this today and maybe there'll be a different feeling on it, but his comments so far indicate a plan to stick with Cunningham. I know that when they picked him up, it was very much, you know, wait and see. Bottom line, this is a really nice ad for the rest of the season. You're going to have to make some tough choices here. And those would be two that I would look at. And Jenkins, Jack Rabbit Jenkins is probably the easiest choice.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chris, texting in, says, Vrabel legit is faced with one of the best media groups. Look how many of the questions come from long-tenured professional media people who really know the team. Walker, Glennon, TD, Rexrode, Kaharski, etc. How could the press conferences suck? This coming from Chris on the text line. Maybe that's how you need to frame it to Vrabel later today. What are you talking about?
Chris, you being sarcastic. I don't trust you, man. You're really ripping us, aren't you?
just tell you what he said.
That's right, Vrabel. I mean, Vrabel, you're basically, it's a bunch of Edward R. Murrow surrounding you, Vrabel.
You talk about scribes. Doesn't get much better net list I just read off.
Better bow down in the presence of journalistic greatness. Want to see a little respect today. That's what I'm going to ask you. Where's my respect, Vrabel?
Yeah. Come on, man. I will say this, like, if the entire press conference consisted of Teresa Walker, the press conferences probably wouldn't suck.
That's true. Teresa gets the first question and gets better answers. Is Teresa the only person Vrabel likes in the press corps?
Well, I think there's
there's
a
question for today. That's the question for today.
Excuse me, Mike. Do you like any of us besides Teresa?
That's one. Will you please rank your bottom five media members? I mean, we'll put Kaharski at five. And actually, I think Vrabel secretly loves Kaharski.
I think he does too.
He won't admit it.
No, he definitely won't admit it, but I think he does. I think he loves Rexrode too. I think he's a big fan of Joe Rexrode.
He loves you.
Yeah, I think so.
He does.
I don't think so, but I do think that he does like my trolling of Kaharski when we do Zoom. So that I think he definitely, you know. I remember the first time. Do you remember this? It was trying to think. I guess it would have been like early COVID. But I was making fun of Jared about his cameo thing.
Oh, like, yeah.
So it was the first time Vrabel responded. Because you don't know. Like, you know, sometimes people are on these Zoom calls and – yeah, I have no idea. Do they have, because you can do a Zoom call and you cannot have the chat thing up, right? So I feel like a lot of times people who are like the subject of the press conference are just, you know, okay, turn on your screen. Here you go. Talk to the people. Like, I have no idea. So in those chats, like, I'm just like, it's like, cause Jared had just done the cameo thing. So I like every question, I was like, how about you? Do you have a cameo? Like, I was just a complete troll in those chat rooms constantly, right? And then Vrabel's finally like, we talking about cameo today? What we doing a press conference? Like, oh, Vrabel reads the chat room.
But then
he got into it and started trolling people in the chat room, which was pretty great, including the great line, Joe is a clown.
Yes.
So, fair.
Which
it was fair.
Is accurate. I don't think there's any question about it. So, what do you think? First off, how often do you think Ryan Tannehill comes up today with John Robinson and Mike Vrabel? And do you think the tone is any different? Like, they've been so strong, especially J-Rob. Like, he's been pretty strong in what he's had to say. about Tannehill, and you know Vrabel's not been asked about him since the end of the season, so it's been a little bit different. What do you think the Tannehill conversation looks like today? Do you think there's much of a Tannehill conversation today in Indy?
Well, I think both of them would probably rather not have it because like they've said stuff already, but that's not realistic. So yeah, I'm sure it'll come up. I mean, to me, look, like I asked Ben these questions. I'm looking at my file right now. I mean, I've got a lot of questions that to me are more important than, hey, do you still like Tannehill? But let's face it, this is what people want to hear what they have to say. People still want to talk about quarterback. And, you know, if there is, you know, as the Aaron Rodgers thing fades a little bit, if there is a little bit of Russell Wilson opening, you're still, I think, as a fan. Although, look, I think you need to be realistic as a fan and understand it's not happening. But I also understand that you're going to be like, well, is there a chance? Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, with quarterback movement. So the quarterback thing is, you know, this is what I was thinking of as I'm kind of preparing for this. So you look around the league just yesterday, all the things. There's so much quarterback drama. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's, you know, the Broncos are going to go all out. And, you know, the Bucs are like, Brady, come on back. And you got you got Wilson. You got the Bills making it clear that Trubisky won't be back, opening the door for Trubisky to Indy. Oh, yeah.
Come on.
But, you know, you just have all these things. You know, Garoppolo's having surgery. I mean, so quarterback drama is the name of the game this year. Titans don't have any, but it's still the discussion of Tannehill is going to be in there somewhere. Like, I'm more interested in Landry. I'm more interested in Cunningham, Ben Jones. Even like Vrabel. Will Vrabel say much about Caleb Farley? I don't know. You know, it's like you got to frame the question exactly right, and even then, maybe not. But that's a huge storyline going into this offseason. Caleb Farley, is he you know, going to be ready? Like, they don't have set answers on this because he's still rehabbing and trying to get ready. But, I mean, these are things to discuss. And, of course, Dylan Raiden's, is he a guard or a tackle? Maybe I bust that one out back again for Vrabel and get the he's an offensive lineman answer again.
Please do.
Yeah.
Would be incredible. You mentioned with Ben earlier that maybe there's some comments today on Harold Landry that we could take something from. I'm interested to see what J-Rob says on that front and exactly where negotiations stand with Harold Landry, with the tag window, of course, being open at this point.
Yeah. And obviously, it does bring to mind. I mean, it's not like Vrabel gave any sort of indication 2 years ago that he was about to tag Derrick Henry. Everybody knew it was possible, but that's a huge question. And just so he's sort of, again, he is sort of put out there, which to me means something, that they are interested in having Cunningham back. So, what's the exact conversation? The exact answer on Landry?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. And I'm interested to see, like, how open he is about that. And, like, are they interested in signing him to a long-term deal? I would assume that they are. You know, how close is that to happening at this point? I don't know. I mean, as we talked about with Ben, that's a ton of money to spend on two edge guys. You know, Ben made it sound like, you know, he was kind of hesitant to think that they may be able to pull this off with Harold Landry when it comes to the money.
Yeah. Well, look, when you look at the whole picture, I would not advise it. I would say you need to keep the pass rush together because it became something special. I mean, my gosh, you got 9 sacks. You didn't win the game, but you got 9 sacks. I mean, you had it cooking, and I would not move away from that. I would sacrifice elsewhere, but they may – when you look at the numbers, and they know the numbers way better than we know the numbers. Vin Marino in there, they know exactly what they can do and what they can't do with a cap that very much does exist in reality. And they may have come to the conclusion, or they may come to the conclusion, you have to do more on offense. You have to protect Tannehill better. You have to have better weaponry. You have to have better everything on offense. And so you're just going to have to roll with Autry, Dupree, Simmons, and hope Rashad Weaver is ready to rock, and you find somebody else in the draft or whatever. I mean, that may be. I would not advise it, but I think Titans fans should be open to the possibility. I mean, there's always surprises in an NFL offseason.
Corey Curtis tweeting out earlier. Of course, he's at the Combine in Indy right now as well. John Metchie was speaking with the media earlier and said, quote, he views himself as the top blocking receiver in the draft. Says Julio Jones is his top wide receiver, and he's talked with the Titans. This is coming from John Metchie. So what do you think about that? Best blocking receiver in the draft. That seems right up John Robinson's alley, my friend.
Oh, my goodness. And he's hurt. Oh,
no. What a combo.
Oh, J-Rob, come on. In all seriousness, this could be its own rant. He talked with the Titans. Yeah, no crap. It's going to be amazing.
Well, I think everybody that's gotten on the stage so far has had some sort of meeting with the Titans.
Yeah, like that's what they do here. They meet with the teams. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I understand. Like, you have a certain, but the whole, have you met with this team? Have you met with that team? My God, we don't have time for all these.
I just want somebody to be like, you know, no, I haven't. I don't really play. I'm really good. Trying to hold it to about 10, 12 teams.
Yeah, I have no interest in talking to them. I don't like them, and they have no players that I've ever emulated.
Like, I don't even remember. Like, did Joe Burrow go to the Combine? I have no clue whether or not he did. I don't think he did. But, like, there's no point in Joe Burrow meeting with other teams, right? Like, yeah, I'm just going to meet with the Bengals. Thank you.
He definitely was at the Combine because I remember, you know, just like all his pressers, it was like, oh, this guy's awesome. You know, this guy's hilarious. But, yeah, I mean, pretty much a gimme. But, you know, sometimes you have, like, the Eli Manning situation where, you know, like a family is like, we are not going to go. I mean, the Bengals would have been a candidate for, like, I am not going to that franchise. Or, like, John Elway, I am not going to the Baltimore Colts.
Yes.
But he went to the Bengals. Worked out okay.
I feel like that needs to happen more. Like, we need to have somebody. We haven't had one since Eli. We need somebody to step in there and be like, you know what? Hey, man, I'm not playing here. Not going to happen. Malik Willis, I will avoid I avoid the Denver Broncos at all costs. I'm not going there.
Chicago Bears fans wish that Mitch Trubisky was like, I am not going to Chicago no matter what you do. I guess we'll have to take Patrick Mahomes. Oh, I guess we'll have to take Deshaun Watson then. Okay.
Yeah. ESPN 102.5 The Game is Nashville's official home of NASCAR. Tune in this Sunday at 1:30 for the Pennzoil 400 at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Also get set for the race with Chasing Checkers every Sunday at 8 a.m. When we come back, it is time for Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. If you guess a goal score for the Predators tonight, you win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Predators taking on the Seattle Kraken tonight. Puck drop at 9 o'clock, pregame at 8 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. The first game of a two-game Western road trip swing for the Nashville Predators. Tonight they'll take on San Jose coming up on Saturday. The standings in Preds Pick to Click are as such. The listeners in the lead with 14 correct answers. Joe Rexroad in second place with 12. Robbie, myself, with 10 in third place. And Michelle is making a charge. 7 correct answers. So the competition is heating up coming down the stretch run here. Whole lots of hockey coming up here over the next couple of months for the Nashville Predators. With that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in today's participant, Ken from Jackson. Ken, what's going on?
Oh, not too much. How you guys doing?
We are great. We appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Ken, who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
3-1 Predators.
Who's the goal scorer for you?
Matt Duchene.
Matt Duchene, the selection from Canford Jackson. Kent, appreciate you taking time to call in.
All right, bud. Take care.
Absolutely. You as well. So Duchene, the goal scorer for Ken from Jackson. Also a 3-1 pick from Ken for the Predators to win tonight against Seattle. Michelle Knezovic.
Yes, I'm first, Joe.
Bonus pick. Wait, first that was today. My pick.
No.
You
it's
were
my
first
turn.
Last time.
Ding, ding, ding. Mr. Philip Forsberg.
Wow, Michelle going with Philip Forsberg in the competition today. And not only is Joe Rexroad not first.
He's last.
He is last today. So looking forward to that.
I'm going to go back through the audio.
Joe totally thought he was first. I saw your face on the Zoom. You're like, yes.
And he was really excited. I don't think there's any question. Duchesne and Forsberg off the board. I'm going to go with the captain in this game. Give me Roman Josi to score a goal in this game. I believe he gets it done. It's been a while since he scored a goal. I think he puts one in there tonight. So Duchesne, Forsberg, and Josi are off the board. Joe Rexrode, your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with the guy who should be starring right now in Seattle, Tanner Jeannot.
Yes.
No, Callie Yarncrock.
I'd pick him if he was eligible for me to pick, but he is not. Well, so give me the rookie. Lucas Raymond had another big night. Tanner Jeannot's got to keep pace, man. Got to keep pace with these guys.
Yeah, Zegras had a game winner as well last night. So, as you know, the pressure's on. Got to keep scoring, man.
There you go. I feel good about it.
He's had a goal in two consecutive games. Three out of the last four. So he's on a heater right now. Rexrode feeling good.
I am. I'm feeling good. So I'm glad. So that's fine. You guys do whatever you want. Forsberg probably have one of those empty nights. And you know, I forget who, you know, Duchesne. I mean, the listener. It helped. Yeah, Josi. I guess, yeah, those are all good picks. Fine. But it at least the listener not picking Forsberg, it, I mean, I appreciate that, you know, just to mix it up a little bit. Also, to give us a final score, a little bonus pick there.
Yeah, 3-1. I'd say a 3-1 score tonight could be likely for the Predators. We'll see how that goes on that front. This has been Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. This is, and you talked about this yesterday, Joe, it is really kind of the last stretch here for the Predators where you've got some breathing room. You play Seattle tonight, 2 days off, play San Jose, then a couple of days, and then it's Dallas, Anaheim, St. Louis, and Minnesota all next week. And you're basically, I mean, it's literally for the most part with, I think, two exceptions. The rest of the way, it's every other day after that. Pretty incredible.
Yeah, and big ones, you know, like a lot of, obviously, but a lot of big games. A lot of really important, you know, 4-point games, as they call them.
Well, and in order to make those big games, I think even bigger, you got to win tonight. Like you ought to win these next two games. Like you should beat Seattle and you should beat San Jose. Like these are teams where I get it. It's the NHL, you know, anything can happen on a nightly basis, but you need to go into Seattle tonight and really establish your game and come out of there with 2 points.
Well, there's no doubt. And the thing is, I think a lot of times it is the NHL. So everybody's good enough, but a lot of times it's like, second game of back-to-back, something like that. Like, you're a little more vulnerable to lose games like this. You've had a good amount of time to kind of rest from all of the craziness of last week. Get out there, you know, and then you get another nice break before the Sharks. You get another nice break going into the latest monster game with Dallas. But, yeah, these two, you should be able to isolate them, look at them. Saros and goal, I would assume, for both. Although, you know, I suppose, you know, you could look at it looking forward. You could think of it, I guess, the same way and be like here and there, mix in a little Big Save Dave.
Hey, man, Big Save Dave is looking good at practice yesterday. I'll say that.
Is that right? There you go. Man. But you know, probably, yet there's no reason other than, you know, it's like the mental break. I think it obviously worked out well last week. You got Saros, you got a rested team. You got a better team, win both games.
The standings update for the Predators. The Preds holding down the first wild card spot heading into play tonight. They've got a 1-point lead over Edmonton in that regard. They've also got one game in hand on Edmonton. So the Predators have actually played in fewer games than somebody in the Western Conference. That's pretty incredible. Dallas, 3 points behind the Predators with one game in hand as well. So Dallas still right there knocking on the door. Anaheim gets some big points last night as well. Minnesota loses last night to Calgary, so you get some help in the Central Division there. And, you know, Winnipeg still hanging around. They went 8-4 last night against the Canadiens. But, you know, a big win last night for Anaheim. I thought Anaheim was starting to fade a little bit, and they get a win in regulation last night against Boston. After Boston just totally destroyed L.A. the night before, 7-0 in that game. So, you're going to have to keep winning. I mean, the teams around you right now, they're winning on a regular basis. And By the way, Vegas is now in third place in the Pacific. Calgary and LA have jumped over Vegas in the Pacific. Pretty incredible.
Yeah, that is a bit surprising. I mean, it's muddled, you know. I mean, there's still, you know, again, like with Winnipeg, I mean, there's still a chance for them to go on a run. You know, I mean, the Ducks, you know, the Canucks are, I mean, really, I mean, the only teams that are absolutely just forget that they exist would be the Kraken, Coyotes, and Blackhawks. You know, I mean, the Sharks are not good, but, you know, they're 500. And, I mean, they're only like, they're one, you know, hot 10-day stretch from kind of being on the fringe too. So, it's a wild bunch, both ahead of and behind the Preds.
Well, and the opportunity to climb back into that top three in the Central is, it's there a little bit more than I thought maybe it would be, because Minnesota has faded a little bit. They've lost four games in a row.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about Minnesota forever. Minnesota had played five less games than the Predators had. Well, now that's down to two less games, and they're only 1 point up. So they've started to fade a little bit. Now, St. Louis is playing really well, and they're now up to 70. So they're 6 points ahead of you right now
with the one game in hand.
But, and look, nobody's catching Colorado. I think we know that at this point. But the idea of you climbing back into the top three, I think, is very much still on the table for the Predators. Some big head-to-head matchups against those teams coming up as well. Now, some people say, that's fine. Why don't you stay right where you are right now and be the first wild card and take on the Pacific Division winner? I understand that, but like, you can't operate that way if you're the Predators. You just gotta win the games that are available to you to win and see where the standings fall after that.
Yeah, that's what I was just gonna ask. Like, if right now, if you could pick, you know, gosh, I mean, Calgary, you know, I mean, Calgary, Vegas has a couple games at hand, 6 points back. Let's say it's Calgary or Vegas. If you were the Preds, would you choose getting into a series with St. Louis, with St. Louis having home ice, or one of those two teams?
I mean, I'd probably go one of those two teams, although I will say Calgary has loaded up and they're really good. I mean, their goal differential, this is a stat I do pay attention to. Like, their goal differential is a plus 57. Colorado is plus 65. Like, they're right. And it doesn't tell you everything. But goal differential something over the course of an 82-game season will tell you something. Like, usually, I mean, let's look at the playoff line right now. Like, the Preds are a plus 12 in goal differential. Edmonton's plus 8. Those two teams are both in the playoffs. Right after that, the separator is Dallas. They're even. Anaheim, Vancouver, Winnipeg all in the negative in goal differential. So it doesn't tell you everything, but it does tell you something as you're coming down the stretch. And Calgary's played really well as of late.
Yeah, so it's you know, you get into it. I mean, the St. Louis is a rivalry. That would be a gritty, grimy series. I mean, either way, you know, that's probably what you're looking at, is starting on the road as a probably slight underdog at this point, the way things are trending.
Yeah. Now, outside of Colorado, is there a team in the playoffs right now that you feel like you just are heavy, heavy underdogs against? I don't, if you're the Predators. Like, if it's Calgary, most people would probably pick Calgary to win that series, probably. But, like, I mean, the Predators can play with Calgary. We've already seen that this year. I mean, they can play with Colorado, too. Like, nobody's unbeatable, but Colorado is 40-10-4. Like, to me, the spot you don't want to be in if you're the Predators is the second wild card, because then you're taking on Colorado in the first round. I'll take my chances with Colorado in the second round if you have to. I don't know if I want to see him in the first.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, hey, you want to get over to the Pacific, but yeah, if you go to the very bottom, I guess it's 5 years later.
Yeah.
The roles in reverse. The exact same scenario. Everybody said they had no chance in. So maybe that's the way you want to go.
Maybe so. When we come back, I had a conversation with Preds forward Ryan Johansson yesterday before the team took off for Seattle. We'll get that conversation on the other side. Some interesting stuff for Ryan Johansson on becoming a big brother in the NHL for an NHL player, and his thoughts on Tanner Jeannot and his emergence in this league as well. We'll get to all that and more coming up on the other side. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.